know, I this is one of these films, Triple Nine, that, like, I'm enjoying it a lot as it's going along in its way. I'm, like, going, this is interesting, where's it going? And then, by the end, I'm like, I have a feeling this was supposed to be a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's so many, the plot has to do so many things to get to where it needs to go. And none of it is improbable, but it has to, go, like, move all of these characters quick enough and give you just enough information about each one so that you can remember who they're supposed to be, like some signifying detail about them to get to such a convoluted point. I'm like, this is a great story to be told long form.
I feel like this is kind of one of these situations where the writer or writers, because almost every project is written by several couple people, have this idea of, like, their dream cast for every role.
Yeah.
And they got every single one of those, like, people.
Now what do we do?
And it's like, oh, fuck.
But then they don't fit together. Yeah. Like, it's almost, there's, it's not that there's too much talent on the screen, it's that the talent doesn't fit together. Like, JC, you know, when the USA started, like, they started losing USA basketball dream team.
For God's sake.
Because they would only, they would only get the best players. They wouldn't get players that fit well together.
I don't know if I agree with that. In fact, I don't agree with that.
I just don't think a lot of them are used that well.
I agree with myself.
The movie so fast, you're like, oh.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this movie is so packed with talent.
Yeah.
And some of it, is, like, barely in it. But, you know, this is something that can happen with, like, well, you've got basically up-and-coming directors like John Hillcoat here, who has been doing some stuff lately that got lots of critical acclaim, like his movie The Proposition and The Road. You're like, okay, Lawless, which got great reviews,
Lawless,
but
great.
Nobody
Lawless
went to go see it.
I loved Lawless.
It was okay.
I loved Lawless. Yeah. It was terrific.
Road, I like the book more.
It's like the baby
always better. Come
the baby
on,
eating.
That's not even a thing to say.
There's only, like, I can count on, like, one hand movies that were better than the book.
Yeah.
Like, The Martian was better than the book. That's about it for me.
That's true, either. Mm-hmm.
To me. Like, but other than that, I can't think
of. I didn't actually read it.
I read The Martian.
To the audio book.
I didn't actually read it. I listened to the audio book.
Oh, sorry.
Serious? Yeah, I listen to the audio. I don't waste. Hey, look. I'm going to get the same experience listening to the audiobook than as I am going to be doing reading it.
Technically, that's not true from a scientific point of view. Hearing is not the same experience as reading.
Yeah, that's
enough
time.
You absorb it in a different fashion. But that's neither here nor there.
You know what? You make a good point.
But, you know, it's a small point.
And I don't mean that sarcastically. You that makes a lot of sense that, you know, if somebody's saying you make a good point can sound really fucking sarcastic, so I want to make sure I'm not being sarcastic. Like, you make a good point.
Hey, what's Triple Nine about?
Well, Triple Nine.
Triple Nine is a boring movie that just sort of starts.
I don't, once again.
And then it just sort of ends.
I was never bored by this
movie. Yeah, I was never bored either.
In fact, it moves super fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said,
fast.
There's so much stuff happening in this film that's what part of why I'm like, this would have made a much better show. But the idea being here, although it's even though Casey Affleck is somewhat our main protagonist, it's like a good 20 minutes before we even see him in the film.
You mean the lesser Affleck?
I suppose. It depends on how you feel about old Ben.
Ben Affleck is a douche, but he's a talented douche.
Oh, you just offended Herman.
Yeah.
He's like,
I said he's talented.
Well, okay, it's personally. I don't. Yeah, it's personally.
He is a douche.
But he is a talented guy.
He's a douchey bro that is really good at directing and pretty good at acting.
I would call him formally a douchey bro. I think he kind of like wore that off a while.
This last summer, he reaffirmed his douche license.
I have no idea what he did.
There was like a nanny thing going on, like whole thing.
I don't know.
So Triple Nine.
Yeah.
So he did what actors do.
Yeah.
Still makes him a douche. Like, John Mayer is still a douche.
So what's Triple Nine about, Chris?
It's apparently about Ben Affleck having an affair with his nanny or something.
Oh, by the way, who else? Who's here?
Oh, yeah. Good
okay, Richard.
I'm Chris.
JC.
Herman.
Elliot.
And not Richard this time.
What? No.
The movie starts off with basically two military guys and a couple cops who are working together doing a job, as it turns out, doing a job for the Russian mafia.
Jewish Russian mafia.
The Jewish Russian mafia, indeed.
Oddly specific.
Yeah. They made a point.
run here by Kate Winslet, who is sort of like the prima donna because her husband, who actually leads it, is in prison. And they are they're using their influence over this group of people that is both just paying them a lot of money, and also sort of like, and we'll kill you if you don't do this, to pull off the series of jobs to get, I guess, evidence that they can't keep her husband in jail without.
Also, they have one of the main character's sons that they're basically holding hostage.
What do you edge you for?
Who has had that child with the sister of Kate Winslet. So basically, like, he made the mistake of fucking a Russian mob princess.
But it is Gal Gadot. It's Wonder Woman.
Like, even so, there's the point when you realize that she is the person who might be dating the Russian mob princess, that it doesn't matter how good she is. Get the hell out of there.
Sure.
You certainly don't have a kid with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was like, I'm sorry, dude, I don't feel bad for you at all.
You knew what this was.
Yeah. You got like Chiwetel Ejiofor, Anthony Mackie, Norman Reedus,
fresh off the set of The Walking Dead,
and Clifton Collins Jr. as the main part of this group of people working together, with Aaron Paul, who's playing the younger brother Norman Reedus, who feels like he was kind of brought along just because he needed the money. Like, he's the weak link in the chain.
Yeah, he's clearly. I mean, he really is playing just Jesse Pinkman. I mean, he's playing a degenerate drug addict who has a heart.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of, but even more degenerate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
I feel like, because we've seen how talented he can be, and so I feel like he was really, severely limited by what was written for him.
Yeah, and agree.
I think there wasn't much he could do with what he was given.
Yeah, he felt like he was cast entirely because he played Jesse Pinkman, and this felt somewhat similar to that.
At least it wasn't Need for Speed.
Oh, good Lord, don't remind me of that.
But he still needed some speed.
But anyway, so we finally get introduced to Casey Affleck and his uncle, played by Woody Harrelson, who's by far the best part of this film.
He is the best fucking character.
He's playing a slightly more heightened version of his character from True Detective, basically. Yeah. But like, that's good. We want to see that.
I felt like he was playing his character from True Detective doing an impersonation of Matthew McConaughey from True Detective.
Casey Affleck has just moved on the force from the suburbs, the nicest area of town.
Zone 2.
Yeah, Zone 2. To
the white part of town is basically what they should have said.
Yeah, to the like nastiest, dirtiest, drug and crime-filled part. And everyone's kind of making fun of him. And he's being forced to be teamed up with Anthony Mackie as a partner, doesn't want him there at all. And
he's like, where's Chris Evans?
And doesn't like him. It's like, yeah, fuck this guy. And when their plan, Anthony Mackie and crew, they find out there's the only way they can pull off this huge heist that they need to do for the Russian mob is by distracting all the police. They figure, well, we'll pull a 999, which is code for officer down. Mm-hmm. And that will make every cop within miles go running and refuse to go anywhere, basically, but there.
Yeah.
And so they say, well, I think we found our cop. That's Casey Affleck. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the trailer makes you think that this whole film is going to be a sort of Casey Affleck is running from them as they're trying to kill him, you know? And honestly, this is like halfway through the third act when it finally gets to that point.
Yeah.
It's weird that they use that so much as a selling point for the plot of this film when really it's one of the last plot elements to happen in the movie.
Yeah, and it's never good when you're in the middle of the third act and your kind of plot is still unraveling.
Yeah, it's still like new elements coming up like that. And that's just it. Yeah, it feels more like a book or a TV show or something like that.
Kind of like a season of The Shield, maybe.
Yeah, like a season of The Shield, no question. I'm kind of surprised they got this made for $20 million with this cast. He even has things like a really funny performance by Michael K. Williams, also playing to type as a gay criminal.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh my God, except here he's a transvestite I don't even know the term.
Transgender.
We don't even know that.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever offends you the least.
We're trying.
I don't want to say the wrong thing. I just get lost sometimes.
It's like, I don't need the Mary Sue writing an article about this tomorrow.
It's very funny in the role, but it's still like, you guys make him play those roles a lot. Mm. And he's not actually gay. How do you get typecast like that?
Well, he's got that big giant scar on his face. Maybe that's...
Yeah. You know. It's like that sort of like... it's anachronistic because he's got such a rough voice.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, he's kind of ugly looking and everything. And then he's playing characters who are like... I wouldn't say effeminate. That's not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of the gay characters, the one he's about to play in Happen Leonard and the one that he played in The Wire, are the opposite of effeminate.
But it gives his character a wrinkle so that he... that they can maybe explore a little bit deeper somewhere in another vector of his character.
But it is interesting now that we're looking at this, how many of the characters in here are playing roles that they aren't much of a stretch from things we've seen them do before.
Except for one person, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And that's Kate Winslet.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I was about to mention that.
She does a great job. And she's, I mean, when she's on screen, you're scared of Kate Winslet, which I've never really been scared of Kate Winslet before.
No.
You know, maybe in Heavenly Creatures. And I was like, yeah, she was kind of scared.
I mean,
she
was.
Beautiful, whatever the movie was called.
Yeah, Heavenly Creatures.
Yeah, Heavenly Creatures.
She was scary. She did a great job. And maybe I'm too PC, but there was a point to that movie. I'm like, I'm not offended, but I feel like I should be.
Like, yeah, for what? For like her
depiction of a Jewish mob boss. I'm just like, this is starting to. They go like full racist at the end of the movie, where she like they go the entire movie without saying anything about it's an interracial relationship. You can tell there's that tension there, and I think it's a good part. Don't get me wrong, but it just felt like it came out of nowhere. Like, sort of at the end where she had that one remark.
Well, where she full-on says the most insulting thing she could say to him, which is a racist remark.
Yeah.
Basically because she's thinking, well, I'm not allowed to kill you because of my fucking sister.
Yeah.
So I'm going to at least say that.
I just sort of felt
the mafia aren't exactly the most PC.
No, I agree. Yeah. But what I'm saying is I feel like it brought the character down because I never viewed any of her dislike of him throughout that entire movie as a racial thing until that scene.
I think that scene is there to set up what happens immediately after.
Yeah, that's true. So you're on his side.
So for Kate Winslet, I think all three of us kind of have different, because you thought she was good. I didn't think she was that good because I didn't think she nailed the accent.
Well, that was the only problem. I thought she had great performance, but she did let her accent
slip. And that's kind of why I was like, how is such a great actress? Like, how can she just can't do accents?
She pulled a piano. Just like drop that accent as soon as she could.
And also, there was room for two on that fucking raft.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I've seen the diagrams. Still mad.
But it's amazing. The thing, my biggest problem with this movie, and it's something I've been thinking about because we saw this movie 2 days ago, and I want to be fair to this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to like every character.
No, I don't think the movie wants you to.
I don't think
it does. It doesn't want you to, but I feel like you should at least be rooting for one character. And for me, I didn't have a character that I really connected with, even on a, they're shitty, but I like them for this. Because the two that I'm supposed to, I think the movie wants me to like, is Ejita Four's character and Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
And Ejita Four, my attitude was, man, you knew what this was, and you can leave when you want. You, like, you're already a deadbeat, like, I get it, you're trying. This is how you maybe justify all the shitty things you do is for your son. Fine. But he was so bad and had done so much, I couldn't get to that point. And then Casey Affleck, I'm just like, man, you're so fucking naive. Just,
I don't think he's naive. He literally has no idea what's going on because he just a whole new area.
Naive may be the wrong word, but it's just like he's so clueless. And it's just like, and he's so like, shucks. I'm going to do my best.
I don't see that at all. Like, there's nothing. See, we talked about this before, and you even agreed with me afterwards. You said, no, you're right. Because you were like saying, how could he not know this? It's like, think about what you just said, Elliot. He didn't, you know it because the movie showed you these.
But no, but not even. But I say, I concede at that point. I'm not saying he should have known.
Why would this guy assume that everyone is plotting
against him? Maybe not expressing it right, but like, it's not that he's stupid, because I said stupid at the end of the movie, and I agreed that he's not stupid.
Yeah.
But it's that. That they don't, they present his character in such a, he's not, they don't want to do like he's a white knight and he's the one that you're supposed to really love. He's the virtue. They don't want to do that. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But they don't present him, in my opinion, as proficient. Like, I feel sorry for him. I don't feel akin to him. I'm like, man, you, I don't care if you're from zone two. Like, you should know some of this.
I don't know. He seemed like he was a decent enough cop to me. He just, the biggest problem is he was a fish out of water, and the movie's problem, it wants so bad to be a true ensemble piece that it never gives us a real primary character follow.
I think that's
He should have been written as more of a protagonist than he was. And honestly, other than the fact that he's dating the better Kristen Stewart, Teresa Palmer, in the film, like, we don't really know or care that much about him. Sure. Like, he is there as more of a prop for the film when everyone else, and kind of like a Mary Sue character in a weird sort of way.
Yeah.
He's just such a nice guy, and every other cop, even his uncle, is a kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. we love him.
Yeah. No, but I think you put your finger on the pulse of my problem, and thank you. It's that I don't feel like I could nail down who the protagonist was. Who was the person the story was following? I get it's an ensemble, but who was the most important character? Because they had, you know, Anthony Mackie's character had these concerns. You had the villain was clearly, I forgot his name, but the one that was always in the horrible suits. Like he had the ponytail in the
Latino?
Movie.
Latino?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We don't even know his name. We just...
Clifton Collins Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you got Edge of Four, he has his thing, but it's like, I'm never getting to a point where I'm like, okay, well, who do I care about the most? The person I ended up caring about the most was Woody Harrelson. Because he had the most emotional, like, he is a fuck-up, but he cares about his nephew.
Yeah, and he is definitely the one that we have the closest emotional connection with, even though he is, like, so close to being at rock bottom for being a drug addict and alcoholic.
Yeah.
He's like, we're seeing him right before he goes and crawls into a church AA meeting somewhere. And once again, though, the film doesn't really... He's definitely not the primary character. And this is why I keep coming back to it feels like a TV show where it's okay to have this many characters and not have a character you say, no, that's the main character. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can do that on television a lot easier than you can do it in a movie. And there are certainly movies that have pulled it off as well, but... They're a lot fewer and far between for where you're like, okay, that's clearly not the main one.
Yeah.
Here you're like, all of these people are interesting enough. I would have liked to have seen the stories following them more and getting to know them better and, like, you know, watching this story play out in a way that maybe felt a little more organic so that by the time we get to that third act, what the 999 thing is, we're like, wow, this is fucked up because, you know, especially if you go to, like which they insinuate in this movie and don't really follow up that, you know, oh, well, Anthony Mackie at first, like, yeah, fuck this guy. Well, he'll be the cop we kill. And then as it goes along, he's like, oh, this guy's kind of cool. Like, on a TV show, you'd be like, okay, well, he ends up becoming actually friends with him and respecting him. And and then you're like, oh, brother, what you gonna do? Which, you know, the way that whole story turns into is even more, makes the whole thing even more ironic. There's so much good stuff here that just feels like...
Unfinished,
unplayed out the way it should have been. This is one of those times when you really go, I hope this is one of those movies that somebody decides, like FX picks up and makes into a series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to just go ahead and say, I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 unused bullets. Or bullet points in the story, I guess.
Yeah. it's a really solid cop crime drama. It's the sort of thing I do... It's one of the genres of film I do kind of revisit a lot and sort of put on in the background as sort of background noise, but semi-pay attention to, you know, like Copland or like End of Watch or stuff like that.
End of Watch is great.
So, and I think because of that, a movie like this, while not great, it'll end up getting a lot of rewatch value out of me, which I place high emphasis on. There really isn't a weak performance in here, which is amazing considering... Considering the writing is a little weak, this is kind of one of those rare instances, I think, which the performances sort of elevate the writing, which is a little on the weaker side. I would give it a solid 7 out of 10 insta-tweet grammar faces, whatever Woody Harrelson called social media.
Herbert?
It's an entertaining movie. I don't really have anything bad to say about it, but like I think everyone has said, it's just a lot of the things kind of felt like a wasted opportunity. I almost wish they combined some of the characters and not just had some of the characters in this film. There's just actor. I think who was the Latino character in the film?
Clifton Collins.
Yeah, I mean, his part just felt so just like, oh yeah, he's in the film. I kept forgetting about him.
We just haven't seen enough of him lately either.
Yeah. I like I said, I thought Kate Winslet was the standout, and yeah, sure, maybe she dropped the accent a few times, but she remained threatening throughout the movie, and I haven't really seen a Kate Winslet who was scary to me. But, see the film. I think it's worth seeing in the theater. But don't, please, for the love of God, don't bring your kids to see this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, went to the screen, and you bring your 8-year-old or whoever, however old they were. It's ridiculous. Stop doing it. Don't take them to Deadpool either. So I'd give this, 7 out of 10 very scary tattoos.
Elliot?
I talk about Deadpool. When I went and saw it at an AMC in Austin, there was like 3 7-year-olds with their mom like right next to me. And I'm just like, why are they here? This is not Aliens, maybe. I saw that when I was 8. Mm-hmm. That it's violent, but it's not Deadpool.
Yeah.
But that's a different point. Mm-hmm. One person we haven't mentioned but once is Norman Reedus.
Well, I just one thing I want to bring up about Norman Reedus, and this isn't like a smack against the guy or whatever, but he always looks so greasy and sweaty to me.
He does. Yeah, that's his thing.
Is that his thing? Yeah. Because I haven't watched The Walking Dead, but he's probably still very greasy and sweaty.
He could easily be playing his character from The Walking Dead here. If
I feel like he is.
Yeah. This could have been the prequel story.
What he was doing before him.
Yeah, that would have been a perfect sequel story. But yeah, Norman Reedus was really good in this. Kate Winslet was really good. And even though I did not enjoy watching this movie, to be fair to it, it's a good movie. I think it has a lot of missed chances here, a lot of missed opportunities. Has really great acting. In fact, it felt like more of a collection of acting reels than an actual cohesive movie. It was like, yeah, that's a great performance. That's a great performance. Anthony Mackie, you may be the Falcon, but man, you can fucking act, and good to know that you can still do that. So, to be fair to this movie, I gotta give it 5 cleverly disguised bombs out of 10.
Well, it wasn't that cleverly disguised.
That's what the
I didn't see that coming, honestly.
That was scary. That scared me.
It's funny, of all the elements in this film that I thought were very unpredictable, where it kept me guessing all the way through, I was like, oh, this... And I do think it's a really interesting plot. You know, the one thing, I was like, the moment they bought out the MacGuffin, I was like, I know exactly what's going to happen here as this plays out.
I feel like they had done such a good job of showing the aspect that covers up for that, that... I just accepted it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's just this thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. And they just, I got so, that was one of my favorite parts of the movie, because I was like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense what you just did, but fine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.